well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The Second Amendment.
Well, I'm here at Mariches with Dave, who was working on Tuesday afternoon when the incident occurred. Dave, could you tell me in your own words what you saw happen or heard happen?
Yeah, so it was about 1 o'clock on Tuesday, and business as usual. Lunch rush was just wrapping up, but there was still a significant number of people in the restaurant, and I'm cleaning up, and all of a sudden you hear some loud popping, and after about 6 or 7 pops, you realize that those aren't fireworks, and from my vantage point, I was able to peek my head out the window, and directly across the street from the restaurant, there was a masked, hooded shooter, and over the course of 30 seconds, about 40 rounds went off, and it was a panicking moment. These people in the restaurant started hitting the floor, and all we could do is wait for the shooting to stop. And once the shooting stopped, we locked down the restaurant and made sure everybody was okay. But the hardest part about the whole thing is you see little kids, just enjoying lunch with their parents, and now they're on the floor being covered and protected by their dads and their moms, and it was not your typical Tuesday in this area, that's for sure.
No, I'm sure that was really scary. Let me ask you this, an estimate, how long after it started would you say it took for the police to show up?
Well, so we're in a unique situation here because the restaurant's located right on Theodore Road, and Theodore is a divide line between Joliet and Crest Hill, so I would say, surprisingly, Joliet was on the scene first in a matter of tops 5 minutes.
Okay.
Crest Hill was here in about 7.
Gotcha. From previous conversations you and I have had, you're an advocate of the Second Amendment. Am I assuming correctly that you were not armed at the time?
At work, I do not carry.
At any point during that incident, did it enter your head that you wish you had been?
It definitely opens your eyes to, you never know when this kind of stuff is going to happen, so it's always better to err on the side of caution and always be ready for something like this to happen.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, and unfortunately sometimes people aren't able to for various reasons, but I would say Tuesday's incident is probably a pretty good example of why you want to.
It's definitely an eye-opener. I watch out a lot in the neighborhood, and I'm aware of what happens in this area. Normally, it doesn't happen at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a busy road, but you hear stories, and then you see something like that, and you're like, "Wow, there it is. There's your reason." If you were ever looking for one, it's always best to be prepared, and better have it and not use it.
Well, Dave, I'll let you get back to it. I just wanted to grab a few minutes from you, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime.
You have a great one.
You too, buddy.
Thanks.
That was a great interview, Joe.
Thanks, Lee. Appreciate it. I've known Dave for quite a while now. We've talked firearms several times. He listens to the podcast. He likes it. And with everything that happened and outside the restaurant in Marichka's, I figured that he'd have a few things to say about it. And he did. And I really appreciate it, Dave.
Yeah, thank you, Dave.
One of the things I took away right off the bat was that I couldn't do anything about it. And in this particular instance, everybody stayed outside the restaurant. So that's a really good thing. And nobody needed to do anything about it. So one of the things I took away from that was there was a certain level of helplessness, but it didn't directly make the situation worse because nobody ever came into the restaurant. So not being able to do anything about it really didn't make this situation any worse, but it could have.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Like my brain was sort of processing what you said, that that it wasn't necessary, and for sure that's my that's what I teach students. If you're not faced with that imminent threat. But I always feel like there's a side of me that, had the good old bartender taking that guy out, because, I thought about that. The comment that struck me is that there were dads covering up children on the floor of the restaurant.
That hits home a little bit, doesn't it?
It does hit home.
Obviously, those are people that are, their instinct is to protect their children.
And, I think this conversation has, twirled around in our podcast. And if it hasn't, it has in our conversations off the air. Is this, you can look at all the pitfalls of being an armed citizen, and the use of, deadly force, in public, and all the pitfalls that it entails. But, there's a reason why we do it. Yeah. And, that's because there are people like that guy in a mask across the street from a restaurant, wantonly shooting. I've stood, and you've stood in that waiting room, the waiting area at Mariska's, and everyone's lucky that there weren't people standing in it, that it wasn't a crowded waiting room that day. Absolutely. Or else we'd be talking about a different story here. And, when I think about that and I think about those consequences, because that's what, that's what responsible people do, right? Conscientious, responsible people, they think about the consequences of their actions.
Right.
And that guy's just, just go shooting at somebody across the street. And, it just so happens that there's a restaurant there and I'm hitting that as well.
Yep. And when those two, from what I understand, according to reports, when the shooting was over, the two pairs of individuals, they fled. And I'm taking a guess here, but based on the randomness of them, those two groups coming together, none of this was planned, which means when it's random, there wasn't anything to necessarily stop any one of those four persons from running into the store.
Right in the restaurant.
To hide or to, seek shelter, take a hostage. Who knows? Definitely deserves a certain amount of thought by people that it can happen anywhere.
Yeah, and one of the maxims in my courses is have a gun when you need it.
Right.
And that's one of my personal biggest fears is that I would be somewhere with my family, and carrying a firearm. This is a sort of an adage, right? Like what do they say? It's not comfortable, but it's comforting.
Right.
It's not that I wouldn't recommend to any of my clients. I would hope even myself that, I wouldn't necessarily intervene in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
But man, there's a part of me that I wish, somebody had.
Yes.
That stuff is just, man.
The response time from the police, you said Joliet tops 5 minutes, Crest Hill about 7.
Great.
Yeah, I don't like that. That's not a criticism. Yeah. That's what you hear the typical response time is, 4 to 7 minutes. So that's
thank God we have people that'll actually show up.
Right. It's a long 5 minutes.
40 shots being fired. Most people run away from that.
Absolutely.
Right.
And people throw sirens on.
Yeah, we got some people that go toward that stuff and. That needs to not be too far from people's minds, I would say.
Right, but here's where my mind goes.
Yeah, please, Joe, go ahead.
So Dave said it took about 30 seconds, give or take. I'm sure it could have felt like an hour. It could have felt like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
But we'll just go with what he said. It's about 30 seconds. If somebody started dialing the phone, 911, at the first shot, 30 seconds later, that dispatcher's probably just getting on the radio to dispatch that call, which means by the time the police know they need to do something, it's over. So they're responding. It's not proactive, and there's that's not a criticism by any means, and I hope it doesn't sound like one. That's just the reality of it. But that is why I carry a firearm, because a lot can happen in those 5 to 7 minutes. A lot can happen in those 30 seconds. A lot can happen in 10 seconds. And I know people have asked you, because people have asked me as well, hey, what would be a good firearm to purchase? I'm thinking about carrying a firearm. What would be a good one? And I know your first answer is usually whichever one you're going to carry.
The one that you'll have.
The one that you'll have. It doesn't matter how big, fast, good, expensive.
Doesn't matter. Caliber.
Pretty. Caliber. Anything like that. If it's going to be home in the safe.
If it's the... It's the 22 Derringer
right.
That's in your pocket.
If that's the only thing you're willing to carry, then go get one of those to be able to intervene in those 30 seconds if the threat is on you or your family.
Yeah.
And I guess that kind of goes back into, or it leads right into the point. Like I said, I know Dave. Dave likes guns. He shoots guns. But he didn't have one.
And it's no criticism against him.
Again, it's not a criticism to him. I don't know what Marichka's policy is. It's not a criticism towards them. Yeah. Dave works in the bar. You know, they're like, let me put it this way. I'm not surprised to hear that he didn't have a fire. But he mentioned it. It causes you to think. It really makes you think about the priority of having one. And part of what we're trying to teach and advocate for, and you teach literally with some of your lessons, is to be armed, trained, and prepared prior to needing it. Yeah. You know, if we all had crystal balls.
It's just Boy Scout is that still the motto? Be prepared?
I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a long time, but I think it is. So.
And what a great adventure and what a great challenge that is to be, you know, to be responsible, to step up to a higher calling, to expect more from yourself. I think we touched on this, you know, in our prior podcast. You know, what a great challenge to yourself to just say, you know, I'm going to take that.
You know, and I think that could
be burden on.
I think that's a great point, though.
Do it conscientiously.
Because I think that we really haven't talked too much about, say, the gratification of becoming a better shooter. I know for me personally, as the, you know, as the groups got tighter and the paper targets got further, and it's very gratifying. There's a real sense of accomplishment to becoming a better shooter. I still have a lot of practice to do, as we all do, but it can be very rewarding on top of the actual level of preparedness. There's a lot of enjoyment to get out of it. So I would encourage...
And the people you meet, Joe.
Yeah, without a doubt. I would encourage anyone to look up Lee Castle and Castle Defensive, to take a concealed carry class, get your concealed carry license, renew it if you need to, train with it.
Proficiency training.
Doing some of the dry fire, pardon me, a mental block there. Doing some of the dry fire, pick up some of the Mantis stuff if you're so inclined.
Get involved with USCCA. Their online training, like
they have some great videos.
Whatever the aspect is that, you know, that motivates you to improve, and to take on that burden and be responsible with it and conscientious and moral, like those are all great things that people can do. It's a great point, Joe.
Absolutely, do that. Register to vote. And I started doing research for some of these elections, and you know, let's get people to stand up for the Second Amendment and enjoy it.
Yes, indeed.
Until next time.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone.